The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
This is Clyde Blanc from Jacksonville Beach, Florida, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. Your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 416 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on the show, as always, is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Michael. How are you? This fine day?
Okay.
Yeah?
How are you?
Good. We got to run a little bit together yesterday.
Yeah. But not today.
Not today.
Somebody decided not to run today, but...
Somebody ran 13 miles yesterday, but somebody else didn't.
That's true. It's because somebody is still crawling back. But back-to-back. I did back-to-back, which is good.
You did. And I did one straight 13-mile shot.
Yep. I struggled today, but I gutted it out.
Good for you.
You have a shout out?
I do. It's to our good friend Carrie Lenny, who was on Team All Ears with us, and she did her first half triathlon today, which is amazing.
She did, really?
She did. Wow. She did. Yeah, she did.
Awesome.
Not an easy feat to do, so... I'm not really sure about the mileage. I know it's a half marathon. I want to say it's 56 miles of running and 1.2. I don't know why that sticks into my head, but 1.2 miles of swimming. So,
did you say 56 miles?
I think it was 56 miles of biking.
Oh, I thought you said running.
No.
I was going to say, we're talking
a half marathon after swimming and.
Wow.
And running. So it's pretty amazing.
Her. Good for her.
Yeah, she's a rock star. So, yeah, that's awesome.
Speaking of rock stars, notice that segue.
Oh, my goodness.
Woohoo!
He made me geek out so much today.
That's right.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
King of the Geeks himself, Chris Eliopoulos. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Okay. I'm looking forward to a song.
Chris, you sound really good on your microphone tonight.
Oh, thank you very much.
You didn't say hi to me, but I'm going to compliment you.
Hi,
anyway.
Michelle.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine.
Doing good?
Doing good.
Usually you do well.
I was thinking of Chris yesterday because I Want to Be Sedated by the Ramones came up on my running playlist.
Every time you think of Chris, you think of wanting to be sedated? Or?
No, I think
a
bam, bam.
No, the way
bam,
I talk,
bam,
it knocks
bam,
people
bam,
out.
I was thinking of Chris, and then I was thinking, this is not on Mike's
every time
playlist.
I think of Chris, I hear Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Wow.
Anyways, the song.
It's by Janelle Monáe. It's called Tightrope, and I'm sure that's on your playlist, Mike.
Of course.
I've never heard of that one.
What the hell is that, Michelle?
It's a really good song. It's really good.
You and I.
Look it up.
You and I.
We have to put out a list of songs that I recommended.
Michelle would only know it if it was from the movie An Affair to Remember.
Right, oh, I saw that movie for the first time yesterday. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, so I was crying. Oh, okay. I see it. I'm just going to put it right. I'm going to put it right on my playlist.
See? Right away you got
it. I want to say before we start that the reason I'm geeking out, and Chris knows this, is because he posted a picture of the one, the only, Jane Goodall with his latest book, which I own, by the way.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. She's one of my science rock stars and just such a cool person. It's a great, great book. And I just was like, ah! So... I sent it to all my peeps, so it's great.
Yeah, it's amazing. This is the first subject of these books that we've done that is actually still alive, and so it was really, even the making of it. We at the last minute, she asked us to make like changes to about 11 pages. So I basically had to redraw 11 pages at the last minute.
Out of how many, Chris?
It's a It's a 40-page book, but it's about 38 pages of art. Wow. So a third of the book I had to redraw in a day and a half. And
Dear Jane Goodall, I'll do whatever you want.
Well, that's what it is. It's like, you know what? When the subject of your book says, I want this, mm-hmm. you do this.
Yes.
And gladly do it. And she was just absolutely amazing. And, you know, she did it for the right reasons because she didn't want to send bad messages to children who are reading this book. And
what bad messages were there, Chris?
Well, you know what it was is we did a lot of her interacting with the chimpanzees,
right.
physically, like hugging them and
yeah.
stuff like that, just to sort of show – we were trying to show love everything in this world, you know, love nature, love animals.
But she and, wanted like the proper science approach to doing
it. Yeah,
this.
Which was don't teach the children to do that with wild animals.
Right.
And
right.
And said, you know, we need to back off a little bit. And so – it was totally understood, and we wanted to do what was right by her. And, you know, she's just amazing. She gave us a great pull quote for the cover. And
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, she just said, I love this little book, and it's been a joy. And I couldn't have asked for anybody better to have as a subject who, you know, had the – she had the ability to just say, screw you, you're not doing
right,
this book.
Right.
It's awful. And they just worked with us, and she was just amazing. And it just goes to show why we chose her. She's just an amazing person. And,
yeah.
and God, I'm more in awe of her today than I was when we started this book. It's just every time I learn a little bit more about her or I deal with her a little bit more, it's just I see what an amazing person she is. So
That's
it's been
cool.
a joy. And
now you're going to be sold in every science museum all across the country.
Oh, I hope
yeah.
so. I hope so. I mean,
I taught you a fact, too, didn't I, about what her son's nickname is?
You did. You did. She named her dog better than she named her son, right? I mean, it was like Grub.
Do you know, Mike, what his nickname is? Grub.
Grub?
Yeah.
Her son?
His name
yeah.
is Hugo von Lawick. That's the name of her ex-husband, too.
Oh, I thought that was the name of her
yeah,
dog.
Yeah, yeah. I got to see her ex-husband when I was in Africa. But I found out at that time she named her son Grub.
Well,
you know what Grub is?
It's
another
little,
word for a larva. Yeah.
Larva.
Well, it's the offspring.
Yeah.
She was there. She was scientifically naming him. But yeah, we've been very lucky. I mean, it's been a wonderful experience. And as we speak, this and George Washington are number 3 and number 4 in the New York Times bestseller list.
Gosh,
so I, you know, I'm like on a cloud right now, and I can't even figure out how I got here, but it's been a really fun ride. So, but
and next up
to say,
is what?
Next one is actually Disney-centric for all those folks. We're going to be doing I Am Jim Henson. We got all the approvals from Disney and Henson and Sesame Street.
And Kermit.
And Kermit himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're on schedule for January release. So that'll be a lot of fun. Hopefully Disney World, Disneyland carries the books. It'd be a blast for me to see that. But,
yeah, and then I Am Mike Scopa?
Well, Mike's been in the books. You've been in the books.
But you're not going to do an I Am Mike Scopa book.
Mike is set for 2020, spring of 2020 release.
We'll be in the science museum still.
I am a Red
but enough
Sox
of this
fan.
Nonsense.
All right.
Come on, let's talk about let's talk about our subject today.
Well, I think it's awesome that Jane Goodall went bananas over your book. But before
you had to do that,
into,
right? You had to go there.
I had to go there.
That'll be part of the Mike Scopa book.
So. How much time do I have now for my tip? It was used to be 30 seconds. Now.
Show's over.
I'm getting
Thanks,
on your Lopper. Case for taking
see you on the road
in 30 seconds.
We'll see you on the roads and in the parks.
Right. This will be quick. There are lots of times there are things that I do that I don't even think about. You know, gee, I should tell people more about this. And it's like a routine. And I thought, you know, this might be something that a lot of people would find very useful and economical. And that is, of course, you do have to have a rental car. But when you go to Florida and it's very hot and humid, you're always drinking water. So what I do is I usually stop off. It used to be the Hess. Now it's called
Speedway.
Speedway.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll buy a case of Dasani water for $4.99 or $5.99. And I'll get 24 to 36 bottles of water for $5 or $6. Whereas that would cost you... I mean, that's good for 3 bottles in the park. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, save some money. And if you're there for, you know, 5 days or more and you know you're going to need water, go to Speedway and buy a case of water. So that's my tip for today.
It's a good one.
And as far as today goes, we now have enough questions to do a question show. We actually may end up doing two question shows. So this is going to be the first of two. Let's say we're going to do two. And so we're going to try to answer some questions and also read some emails that would be of some interest to our listeners. And we're going to start off with the lovely Chris Aliopoulos reading our first one. Chris?
Okay. This is from Robert Hopkins from Puyallup, Washington. I even got the name right. I just finished listening to your two-part podcast about annual pass benefits. This brought up a question about Run Disney and the annual pass. I have heard that annual pass holders get to register for Run Disney events 1 week early. With your statement that if one person in the family has the annual pass, you all get the benefits, does this hold true for the Run Disney early registration as well? Or does each early registrant need to have an annual pass to make this work, including minors? Sorry if this is confusing. Robert H., what do you say, Michael?
Well, as far as I know, I think, first off, annual pass holders, you have to be at least 18 years of age, and you have to register through that special link that they open up for the early registration. I am not aware, unless Michelle is, I am not aware if someone can register for someone else. My thought is that you cannot, but
oh
Michelle,
boy,
do you know?
I think you can. I think all you need is that link. I think they don't ask you to put in any annual pass information. So if you get the link, then you're all set. So a spouse, a sibling should be able to register for the other person.
But you just have to do each one individually.
Yes, you'd have to do it individually. Now, having said that, I know that one of the things that happened this past week was the registration opened up for volunteers. And one of the things that they started to do was that you can't even register for somebody else to be a volunteer, a spouse, a sibling, a friend, or anything like that. So they may be cracking down on that type of stuff, but for as far as I know for right now, you can. You can register for another person.
Great way to answer the first question. I'm saying no, you're saying yes.
Oh, yeah,
so,
I know. I'm sorry.
So we're going to have to depend upon our listeners out there to let us know if they've tried.
You have a third here, tiebreaker, you
know,
not for
Chris?
Nothing.
What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I do my – I post for my wife as well as me, and they never ask any questions specifically about pass holders as long as you have the link.
And she doesn't have an annual pass.
No, she does have an annual pass, but okay. They don't ask for anything.
Right.
They don't ask for any information. So
right.
My
they don't
guess.
Say put in your 17 million digit annual pass.
Yeah, as long as you're in there. Maybe they have something on the other end, on their end, to double check the name, but I don't see how they do that. But so we've been able to do it without any kind of specific information.
Right.
I'm
going
to throw one more caveat in here. In that you never know, things change on
That's
a day-to-day basis.
That's what I'm saying.
That may have happened. You might have been able to have done that, Chris, the mm-hmm. last time. But just like the deferral policy, we never know until that incident happens if a policy changes. So you know, take everything we say with a grain of salt. But we really would like to hear from anyone who has done this on the recent. A Princess Half Marathon weekend registration last Tuesday, I believe it was.
Yeah, I mean, I was really shocked when I found out that I couldn't register another person, friend, anybody for the volunteer. So that's something that's different. Somebody told me just before I started to register. So who knows? I wouldn't count on it. I agree with you. But as it stands now, I believe it's not an issue.
All right, Michelle, you're on the
next. All right. So the next one is from Rick Wright, and he says, "Hi, Mike, Michelle, and Chris. I just finished listening to episode 397, Disney Odds Makers. On that episode, all three of you placed the odds of a 2017 Disneyland Paris half as very low. I would like to disagree with you on that. In April, the website ed92.org, which is French and I assume is short for Euro Disney 1992, published an interview with Laurent Charbonnier. And the last question was, this exciting, what else can you tell us? Well, for the date 2017 has already been confirmed. A second edition will take place on September 22nd through 24th, 2017. And the event will be on sale in the fall of 2016. It's going to be the 25th anniversary of the Disneyland Paris. So we have several special projects in the works, and very special and very magical. You can read the interview in France at ed92.org. And then you do a search for Disneyland Paris, and the English translation is there too. We'll see how it goes, but my impression is that they have made a great deal of progress on the organization of this race. Back in November, when I went to the Disneyland Paris half talk at the Wine and Dine Expo, I was a bit concerned, but at this point, they confirmed both my medical certificate and access my proof for the Castle to Chateau Challenge, and I have higher hopes about being able to pull this off. But I'll send you an update in late September after the race to let you know how it actually went. Very interesting. I've actually been emailing. Thank you very much, Rick, for that. I've been emailing back and forth with Laurent Charbonnier, I think that was his name. And so he's had to get confirmation from Disney to be able to be on the podcast. We've been going back and forth for 6 months. So I'm guessing now, since the race is next week, we're not going to have him on the show. But that's good to know for the people who want to do that. I would love to do that. It's a tough time for me. But what are your thoughts, Chris? Would you go run Paris?
No.
No. Think about it first, Chris.
Why not? I don't know. God, you know, it's bad enough the money spent going to Florida to run and California to run. The idea of going all the way out to Paris to, I mean, I guess it would be a fun once-in-a-lifetime thing. I don't know. I reserve the right to think about this and answer differently later on in life.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, maybe my wife wants to go to Paris. You know what? She's the one that got me into running. She's the one that got me to go to Disney to run. If she decides to go to Paris, I guess that's where I'm going.
Mike, what about you?
Mike?
I'm with Chris. You know, I've thought about it last 2 years, and actually the last 5 years. I'm not sure if it's worth going all the way over there for that. It's really expensive. It's an expensive trip. My guess is that it would cost, in order to, because you're not just going to go over and run the race. You want to spend some time in Europe. You want to spend some time in Paris and in Disneyland Paris. So we're talking a lot of money, and I just don't know. And I'm also going to say I'm not so certain that the 2017 edition will happen. It's all well and good to have plans, but let's see how well this goes. I mean, I would love to see the brand continue. I just have some concerns about anything that's going on in France. So let's hope that everything goes well and things go accordingly. But I don't know. There's nothing there for me.
I would love to go. It's just such a bad time for me, and I know for a lot of people. You know, I don't. My only remaining child in school couldn't go, but also, just, you know, for my job, it's a really bad time. But I agree that if you're going to go all the way over there, it's not a weekend. You can pop down to Orlando for a weekend, but if you're going to go to Europe, I think you should make it a trip.
All right, next question comes from Kelly. Actually, it's a couple of questions. She says, my name is Kelly, and I love your show. I only discovered you a few months ago, but I can't wait for each new podcast. 3 days ago, I signed up for the 2017 Princess Half Marathon. This will be my first Disney run and my first half marathon. Good for you, Kelly. Two bucket list items in one shot. I'm super excited, but I have lots of questions. I plan to fly in on Saturday morning. How late is the expo open, and will I have time to pick up my packet, or should I come in earlier? Who would like to take this, Chris?
What do you mean? Like, I gotta answer these questions?
Yeah, she's
all right.
So Kelly's, if we don't call on him, he gets upset. Yeah. And when we
I was gonna tell you that Mike gave us the crib notes, and he gave me the number. So this is not me. This is Mike actually giving me the number. So I want to give credit where credit is due.
Take that first question though. The first question is plans to fly in on Saturday morning. She wants to know how late the expo is open, and will she have time to pick up her packet, or should she come in earlier? What do you say?
Well, they're open from 9 in the morning till 3 o'clock p.m. The run is on Sunday, so barring any major catastrophe, she should be able to get her bib and any other extraneous items that she wants to buy on Saturday.
Yeah, I think I also think that Kelly, I think that's going to be a good time to pick up the bib. It shouldn't be too crowded. I would go around noontime. I would not go really early. I'd maybe go noontime because by the afternoon you should be shutting it down anyway. So going over to the expo, picking up your bib, and then just having a leisurely afternoon, I think that would work well for you. What do you think, Michelle?
The way that I feel about picking up the packet is it's a chore that needs to be done, and I like to get it out of the way because I feel like if you don't get the packet, it's kind of weighing on you. So I would go right away and get it, and then...
One thing that's working in our favor is that most of the packets will be picked up Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, yeah. So it'll be people who say that they come after the expo has been open for 2 days, so that you just breeze in and breeze out.
Her next question says, I understand that Disney transportation starts running at 3 a.m. for the runners, but will spectators be able to use transportation during the race? First question, and Michelle, do you have the answer for that? Will spectators be able to use transportation?
Yes, they always can. They can ride with the runners on the bus if they want to. They can really kind of be in the whole prep area until you get to walking to the corrals, and that's where people check the bibs and tell them not to. So you can stand with your runner for the entire time until they start to walk to the corrals, and usually it's about an hour before the race starts. So yes, definitely they can do that. And then your person who's spectating should have a plan for where they're going to go and watch you.
And Chris, can spectators get from the starting line to the castle and back to the finish line?
Well, yeah. I mean, you could obviously run over and get to the monorail. I don't think the buses, obviously you can't grab a bus that would go from right. the starting line anywhere. So you'd really have to, I don't know what time the monorail start running. I think they do start early. But
they usually start super early. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, you know, obviously that I don't know if I mean you could call a cab, I mean, but the traffic is going to be crazy at that point anyway. But I look, Becky and Lou Mangiello can run from the start to the castle to Epcot to back again. So there are definitely ways to get there, I would think. Michelle,
well I'm going to actually pass it over to Mike.
I think when Lou and Becky usually leave at 5 a.m. while everybody yeah. is still in the gathering area, and they shoot right over to the starting area. It's very, very hard to get a standing spot on Main Street USA, but yeah. you have to go early, and as soon as the runners pass, then you need to go to
run like the wind.
Back to the
that?
Monorail, and yeah. you got to go back to the Epcot. So it's You can't really hesitate.
I would actually say if you want to go on Main Street USA that you forego spending time with your runner, that you actually just go right there
yeah,
and see
I
them
agree.
There. And it's, yeah. it's worth doing.
I agree. Actually,
yeah, when you start chasing people around, it gets nuts. We tried to do that with my wife a number of years ago, and it was just chaos. Like, I couldn't get to the right spot in time to catch her because there's so much traffic on the roads. And if you try to get to the monorail, there's so many people and it's delayed. So you really should just stake out one spot and meet them there and then maybe get to the finish line.
Yeah, you have to know what to do, when to leave, and all that kind of stuff. So it's possible, Kelly. So plan definitely on that. And maybe we'll have a show that talks a little bit more in detail on that. We've done that before. Mm. And she says, most importantly, when do I get my medal? And I'll take this one, Kelly.
Oh, you don't get a medal. You didn't tell her?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You just get a pat on the back and a
yeah.
hug from Mickey and a high five from Goofy.
That's right.
You get a banana in a box and a kick in the butt. Yeah. Get on the bus.
Oh,
go
Kelly.
Home.
Yeah. We're just kidding.
Yeah. And, mm-hmm. and as you're looking for your medal, Donald's there and he's quacking up. Okay, so you do get your medal when you finish, Kelly. You run through the finish line, and then you have to go through and you get your medal. And Michelle has one more thing to say.
I just want to say that this is a preference of mine. When you've run all that distance, ask the volunteer to kindly put it on you because it makes you feel like you're in the Olympics a little bit. Don't just let them hand you the medal. I say, please put it on me.
Well, when we've done the when we did the medals in January, I look for cues from the runners.
Yeah, some people didn't want
it.
Them.
Yes,
but
some of them.
I'm one that I put the medal on me, please. Yes, definitely, and then take a picture and put it on social media.
Okay. Okay, depending upon how much time, we're going to do one or two more. Chris, why don't you take the next one?
Okay, this comes from J.C. Wallace. Hello, all. My fiance and I are starting to look into honeymoon planning and have been considering a Disney parks and cruise trip. Since you guys are the experts, I want to know your opinion on this. And if you are for it, what would your ideal trip be? Disney hotel, cruise, park days, anything extra you would do or things you normally do at the parks that you wouldn't do on a honeymoon. I appreciate any insight. I love the show. Thanks, J.C. Wallace. Mike, what do you think?
Well, I can tell you that in January, I had the privilege of running in Orlando, then going on a cruise and running on Castaway Key, and then getting on a plane and then flying out to Disneyland to run there. And I thought that was kind of cool. So I would say if you could take a two-week period and combine it with maybe 5 days at Disney World, then take maybe a 3 or 4 day cruise and then come off and then fly to Disneyland for another 5 days, I think that would be an ideal vacation. I really enjoyed that. And I think that the Disneyland leg would be most enjoyable to a lot of people because it's just it's a time warp and there's a lot of things out there that a lot of people should see, especially if you've never been there. So that would be my ideal trip, Michelle.
Well, I think that I would start with some time at Walt Disney World. I might stay at the Poly or the Contemporary or one of the monorail resorts. I'd love to do Victoria and Albert's. That would be something special. Some reservations at California Grill, Flying Fish. And then my friend Karen is a Disney, she works for the entertainment side of Disney weddings, and she has told me amazing things that can be done with characters and you know, Cinderella's coach and things like that. That might be fun. And cakes, they do amazing cakes. You can pretty much ask for whatever you want. They'll pull it together. And then I think a week-long cruise would be amazing. And I would work with MEI Mouse Fan Travel because they're our friends, but they also know the cruises. They know all aspects of Disney planning, but they know how to make magic and make amazing things happen. So I would talk to them. But in terms of the cruise, I think for me, just a relaxing time would maybe not too much scheduling of things off the ship, but I think would be nice. Some spa time, some time at Palo would be great. That's what I would do. Chris? Not the cruise, I know.
I know. I'm sorry. Just forget about the cruise for me. But I would definitely say go down to do some Disney World touring. Make sure you get the silly hats that say bride and groom so everybody can congratulate you while you're walking through the parks. I would definitely do some special meals. I would also make some special reservations if you do have somebody like Becky over at MouseFan. You should maybe try to secretly book a special meal that your spouse doesn't know about, and some special night. You know, like you were saying, Victoria and Albert's, maybe at the chef's table, something, or even go to California Grill. Or Narcoossee's if you want to get, if you want to wife swap. Sorry, that's a joke from like another podcast. But I'd also, piggybacking on a previous episode, it's great to go to Disney World, especially on a honeymoon. But there are a lot of people. And I would even almost do something like you did, Michelle, and spend the last couple of days at maybe like Vero Beach, one of the other Disney hotels. Just to sort of have the quiet, just the two of you finish to a vacation where you can really just appreciate each other as you head off into your lives alone and not as crazy as you would have at the parks.
I love that idea. Oh, I can't believe I didn't talk about Vero Beach. You can actually get married at Vero Beach, too. I've seen many a wedding. They have just a little tiny lawn there, but yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, all right, let's move on.
One more question for this show. Michelle, you will finish us up.
So it's from Kim Dembinski, and she says, do you have any information or possibly a podcast coming up about the Paris Run Disney event? Thanks for all the information and help you give to the Run Disney community. Kim, we are clearly not doing a preview podcast on the Run Disney event, but we have two of our very good friends, and often they've been on the show, Lee Zimmerman and Laura Gilbreth, and they are actually in Paris as we speak. And after they come back, they are going to do a review of the race and talk about, they're actually staying right on Disneyland property. And they're going to tell us all about their trip. I believe it's their first trip to Disneyland Paris. So we'll get a race review and hear all about it. And if you are going, which I assume you are, please let us know how it went. Give us your feedback.
And that will do it for part one of our questions episodes. A little bit of a questions marathon. We want to catch up. And so for Chris Aliopoulos and for Michelle Scrivener-McLean, this is Mike Scopa. Please join us on part two of our questions episodes. And between now and then, we hope to see you on the road and in the parks.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.